Today on Real Life Radio.
It's not Jesus Christ and you doing your best. It's not receiving Christ and then you walking really, really, really obedient the rest of your life, though that's wonderful. And I'd love to do that perfectly. That's not how salvation is gotten. It is salvation by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing else. Nothing else.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Jesus is More Than Enough. You know, this series called The Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, a physician, can do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 9, we'll discover how the Jesus of the Bible is all we could ever need. You see, the more we understand and learn from Jesus, the more we'll want from Him. Jesus knows our every concern. He is sufficient, more than enough, more than adequate, more than satisfactory, more than competent. And He's more than capable of reaching this lost world. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that everyone's concern in this life is to have a purpose. But for the Christian, our meaning and our purpose in life is not only to be used by the Lord, but to humbly find rest in Him. Now, in his message called, Jesus is More Than Enough, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless your word to our hearts. Father God, we pray that you would allow us to kick off our shoes, put on our sandals, get rid of these shirts and don a robe and be in the crowd. And listen, Lord, to what will take place. What it is, Lord, that you were trying to teach your disciples then is exactly true today. It's exactly what we need now. So, Father, may I not blow this and botch it up. And Lord, may we all be hearers of the word and doers also. For we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Grab your Bibles then and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17. And I would have given anything to have been in this crowd, at this setting, in the moment of what's going to take place before us. It's absolutely exciting to see. Why? Because of the wording. Church, those of you who take notes, make sure that you pay attention this morning. Jot down some of these things because the words that are used are absolutely provocative to our understanding. They're exciting because the words that are used speak exactly to us as to what's going on in the attitudes and in the mind of the disciples, of the people, and of Jesus himself. And I have a smile on my face because you got to laugh. There are some things coming in this message this morning that when these guys get going, that is the disciples, Jesus will turn to them and say something, and how he says it and in the tone that he says it has got to put a smile on your face as we look to this. The title of the message this morning is Jesus is More Than Enough. And I hope that's true in your life, that Jesus is more than enough. You know, this is poor guy running around trying to prove that they found Jesus' tomb. They found him and his family, kids. And listen, I got to tell you something. You guys have caught on by now, right? Gee, well, this stuff comes out always before what holiday? Yeah, and then there's a lull in the action just before what other holiday? Yeah, Christmas. The nuts come out of the woodwork just before Easter and just before Christmas to capitalize on TV shows and book sales, and then they all just go away and count their money because everybody wants to dive into stuff that is absolutely false, but they'll spin it and they'll pitch it in a way that for some people, maybe it's going to cast some doubt upon why they don't believe in Jesus anyway. I'm encouraged by these things. Why? Because Jesus is sufficient enough. And listen, when I say that Jesus is sufficient and that he's sufficient enough, there's a couple of things I want to point out this morning. Please understand that when I put those words together, that Jesus is sufficient and that Jesus is more than enough, I'm thinking in the strict English language, not American language. There's a big difference. We speak American. There's a big difference from what we speak in this time and culture versus English. There's Queen's English or proper English, and then there's American. American has words in it like, yo, say, things like that. Those are strictly American words. English has words like sufficient. Do you know what sufficient means in English? It means that you don't need anything else. See, we think, oh, I guess, you know, it's sufficient. We think that sufficient and that-a-do are the same things. They're not the same meanings. The word sufficient is everything that you need has been given. Everything that you require is done. Sufficient is more than enough. Enough? What does that word mean to us? I guess that's enough. You can't put that legally in the same sentence like that. You can't put, well, I guess it's enough. The tone casts doubt upon whatever it is you've gotten. I guess it's enough. The word enough means, again, to the satisfying amount. It is enough. That means it's fully adequate. Jesus Christ is sufficient, fully enough for us in this life for anything, everything that we need. You and I will not be making it to heaven without him. Why? Because he is fully enough. You do not need, church, listen, oh, my friend, if you're visiting, tune in. Grab onto this. It's not Jesus Christ and you doing your best. It's not receiving Christ and then you walking really, really, really obedient the rest of your life, though that's wonderful, and I'd love to do that perfectly. That's not how salvation is gotten. It is salvation by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing else. Nothing else. You cannot say, oh, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me and taking away all my sin. I receive you. And boy, aren't you glad to have me now, Lord? Because I'm just going to help you right along the way. Oh no, no way. Jesus is sufficient. He is more than enough. And we're going to be learning that in this message this morning. Listen, point number one, we'll read it as we go through. Point number one, Jesus is more than enough. Luke chapter 9, verse 10, it is this, that Jesus meets my every concern. He meets my every need. And they're going to be finding that out here in a moment. Look at verse 10 and 11. It says then that the apostles, when they had returned, told him, that is Jesus, that what they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed all those who had need of healing. The first thing I want you to see about Jesus meeting my every concern, meeting your every concern, is this, verse 10, the concerns that I have in my life and your life about purpose. Please jot this down. Number one thing that the disciples have just learned, and I'll refresh your memory here in a moment. Remember, in that he had sent them out to serve and to minister, he commissioned them last week. And they went out doing great works by preaching, teaching the word of God, and casting out demons and healing the sick. So they had been deployed, and it was apparently a very, very successful tour that they had. But what we find out here in verse 10 is that Jesus winds up instructing them regarding concerns of purpose. Christian, you and I have a concern of purpose. When it says that he went to the city of Bethsaida, look in your map here. This is the Galilee. Top right-hand corner, that little red dot, Bethsaida. It's just on the right side of the Jordan River. It's remote. In fact, the next picture will show you. By the way, we took this last year, this next shot. This is the north end. This is from Mount Arbel, looking to the north end. So our eyes are actually looking east across the Jordan River into the land of Jordan and Syria. The town of Bethsaida would be kind of where you see almost those two jetties, or what looks like a harbor. Jesus would have taken them from that shore into that country. By the way, it looks just like where we live here today. It looks just like this area, like the old Orange County area, like Irvine, very, very beautiful. Olive trees, banana trees, those are all papaya and grapefruit trees you see there. Bananas to the north, all of these things going on. And so Jesus takes them away. He removes them from the crowd. Why? Because there's an issue about purpose here. And it's very, very common for you and I to struggle with what we will see the disciples to be struggling with. When it says in verse 10 that the apostles, they had returned, You ought to mark that. They came back. They're very much excited and pumped up because they told him what they had done. Hey, Jesus, this is what happened. Listen to this. And so they began to speak about it. Jesus's response is either very common, we would think, or there's something going on. When I say common, it could be that, listen, the disciples, maybe they were tired. It was a long time of ministry. Maybe he saw that they were tired. He's going to pull them off to the side. Maybe that's true. Maybe that the disciples realized, or when they were telling Jesus what had happened, maybe Jesus is thinking, you know what, you need a little bit more fine-tuning on your ministry skills, and maybe he's going to take them away for a little private course. Well, that's possible. It doesn't say in the scripture. Maybe, though, based upon the rest of what we're going to be reading, maybe that Jesus saw something in them, having come back from the trip, that he needs to get them away, that they might be reminded of what the real purpose of life as a Christian and life in the ministry is all about. The purpose. Christian, if you understand, oh, please, please hear this. If you understand that you as a Christian, you love God, you read his word, you want to serve him, that's glorious, but you will not understand full, true purpose and fulfillment until you are being used by him. Look, a glove looks pretty dead unless a hand goes inside. We can be Bible-believing Christians, we can be just right on, but unless God's hand is using us to reach the world, there's a sense of us missing the purpose of life. Have you noticed that there's always these bombardments of invitations? Join our country club. Oh, we've got an 18-hole. Oh, we got a 30,000 square foot country club. Oh, there's a new yacht club opening up. Oh, and join this. And why is that the push? Because listen, could it be that the world is saying, listen, you got this, you got that, you got all these other things. We've got them too. We're still empty. And maybe by us getting together and hanging out, we can find the meaning and purpose of life. Come on, let's golf together. I'm not knocking golfing for those who know how. I can't. I've tried. Impossible. But for those of you who do, that's a great sport. But if you're going to golf to find purpose and meaning in life, man, you're going to be sadly disappointed. I was talking to somebody a while back down in San Diego, and they're not Christians. They had just become a member of the Coronado Bay Yacht Club, and they were all just, you know, tooting their horns about how tremendous that was. And yet their life has fallen apart. What shall it profit a man if he gains a dock at the Coronado Bay Club and loses his own soul? See, listen, truly, the believer who says, and listen, if you're not a believer this morning, you need to listen to this. You want to have true, absolute, insane, glorious excitement about living your life? Then find out that God's got a wonderful purpose for your life. And believer, God's got a glorious work for us to do. And it's wonderfully meaningful. So they came back and they're all pumped up and they're all excited. And they tell Jesus, this is what we did. This is what happened. In Mark's gospel, chapter 6, verse 31, Mark's gospel records the event this way. That Jesus said to them, come aside by yourselves into a deserted place and rest a while. Then it says, for there were many people coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. So ministry pressure. Jesus had been ministering, they had been serving, they come back, they tell Jesus how it went, and listen, I don't know, those of you who are doctors or nurses or whatever, those of you who are a fireman maybe, police officer, when you're in a caregiving type of career, it's really vital that you keep your heart healthy and right. You want to know why? Because you give so much constantly that if you're not getting recharged, you're going to be a bear to be around. You're not going to be any fun. That's why so many really good doctors, they take about every 4 weeks, they take a week off. You say, well, man, I wish I could do that. Listen, by the time they get to the fourth week, you want them to take a week off. Can you imagine the doctor saying, you know what, I'm really fried. Are you my patient? Lay down here. And he pulls out a chainsaw or something like that. And I've really had it with people. Why don't you take a break? That's important. And you don't want to have a minister, a pastor, a police officer, or how about an airline pilot? Can you imagine? You know, they work about 11 to 15 days a month, and then they have the rest off. Man, what a cush job that is. Oh, no, wait a minute. No way. Can you imagine, though, the pilot getting on there? Hey, welcome aboard. You know what? I've been flying. This is my 14th day I've had it with this airplane stuff. And I'm sick of people. Nobody better act up on this flight. I'll tell you, I'm going to really let you have it. Welcome aboard. You would not appreciate that. If you give. Listen, your very body, the Lord, demands that we Sabbath and be strengthened again and be built up again. Jesus sees something in the disciples. Number one, they're talking about what great things they did. We'll talk more on that in a moment. And he realizes, I think you need to take a break. G. Campbell Morgan says that there are times in ministry when you can get peopled to death. That's like getting nibbled to death by a duck. Can you imagine? pulling. And Jesus says, you need to come away. Why? I thought they had a great, successful ministry. I thought they did great things. They preached and they raised the dead. They did all these great things. You know what? How about this? Disappointment, I mean, that hurts, doesn't it? When you're disappointed? But we've survived disappointment. When things don't go our way, you know what? We may shed a tear, but we survive. But listen, you know what the danger is, especially in ministry? When you sense, though, that when God is filling your life and using you, if you get your eyes off of him for but a moment, you begin to look around and say, my, look what's going on. Oh, success can kill you. Disappointment can hurt you. Success can kill you. Success can destroy a ministry. It can destroy, listen, it can destroy a marriage. If you get your eyes off of how you got there, it can destroy a company when the CEO begins to think that he did it all while all the little worker bees are making all the money. He can be like Nebuchadnezzar and say, look at the great kingdom that I have built. And God said, oh yeah? And the Lord yanks that right out from underneath Nebuchadnezzar's feet until he remembered the Lord God of heaven. We need to be careful. And it's, I think, maybe most dangerous in things of ministry. Why? Ministry is a scary thing because God uses people. And if you get your eyes off the Lord, you'll get goofy. You begin to think that you had something to do with it. See, these disciples went out following the Lord and God did a great thing. That's what they need to remember. We went out following the Lord. God did the great thing. And so he's going to minister to them about purpose. Also this, verse 11, Jesus meets our every need and that we're concerned about reaching the lost. If we are truly believers, we will do something, Christian, something to reach the lost, to minister to them, to help them, to bless them. There is no way, I believe this, and you may disagree, that's totally fine, and I understand that my position on this is really hard. I believe that if I'm going to heaven, and I believe that that's real, I cannot be content to have non-believers living around me not knowing the way to heaven. Verse 11 says, but when the multitudes knew that they were going away for a break, they followed him. And look what Jesus did. Did he grab the microphone like the airline pilot? No, he received them. That's a witness. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. That's a witness. And he healed those who had need of healing. That's a witness. The disciples are learning and listening. Jesus says, come away. They get in a boat. In fact, listen to this. Mark's Gospel 6:32 says that as they departed into a deserted place in a boat by themselves, the multitude saw them departing, and many of them knew him, and they ran on foot around the shore through the cities, and they arrived before the disciples at the shore when they came. I am sorry, but that is funny. Let's take a break. Who? Peter says, all right, let's take a break. All right, guys, good job. Let's get in the boat. They get in the boat, they're going to go take a break. Can you imagine they're about a mile off from shore and they see this cloud of dust on the shore? What is that? There's a herd of people. They're running. I wonder where they're going. And as you're sailing, they're stopping right there. That's exactly where we're going. By the time they get out of the boat, there's a big, big bit of ministry that has to take place still. There's something going on about an attitude here. We shall see in a moment. Jesus, number one, shows them that he gets out of the boat and he receives them. You know what this word in the Greek means to receive? He makes them feel welcomed. Jesus Christ makes people feel welcomed. The word means that he made them feel at home, that he made them feel, we would use the word special. Jesus, instead of them saying, man, come on, give the boys a break, will you? They've been, he welcomes them. Secondly, he speaks to them about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You say, well, what was it he said? We don't know what he said exactly, but we know that when he preached the kingdom of God, whatever parable, whatever teaching he gave, there would have been certainly something that you know very well that he would have had woven into his message always. And church, I'll tell you what it is in a second. It's something that we need to have in every bit of ministering that we speak to people about as well when we're sharing Jesus with people. Listen carefully. Don't miss this. Whenever you read that Jesus Christ spoke about the kingdom of God, he would have inserted in there John chapter 3, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Don't be surprised about that. He would have told them every time he preached about the kingdom of God, "You must be born again." Listen, the word means born from above. He says that which is born of flesh is of the flesh. That's us, skin. But that which is born of spirit is born from above. It's born of the spirit. You and I came into this world being born through our mommies. In this physical world, we came through the water of childbirthing. Now we need to be, Jesus said, born from above, or the English is born a second time, born again. This is so vital, listen, that there is no gospel preached without saying it. You can tell somebody, "Do you believe in God?" You can ask them, "Yes, I do." "Oh, that's great." But if they're not born again, Jesus said, "Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven." That's vital. "Well, Pastor, you know what? They go to the First Pentecostal church. They must be going to heaven. They go to Calvary. They must be going to heaven. They're this or that. They must be going to heaven." No. Don't ever assume that. Ask them, "Are you born again? Do you know what it means?" Listen, I don't need to tell you how many people in churches have never even heard the term "be born again," even though the letters are written and read in John chapter 3, spoken by Jesus himself. There is no heaven without being born again, says God. And yet ministers, churches, they don't bring it up. This is anathema. Unbelievable. So Jesus preached to them the kingdom. "You must be born again." They would have heard that. And then he healed them. He healed those that needed healing, says the scripture. It's amazing. The second point we see this morning is in verses 12 to 14. And Jesus is more than enough this way, my friends. Even when we can't see a way out, even when we can't see the answer to what we're facing, you're going to see this here in a moment. What are you going to do? Maybe in your life today, you love God, you're following God, but there's a situation in your life, you can't see the answer. You can't see the way out of this. Well, number one, realize this. Like, this needs to be something that you and I need to be reminded of. Well, maybe we do. We need to look for God in the midst of the situation that we're in. That look for God to be in the midst of where we're at. Oh, just for fun. I know I said I wasn't going to do this anymore, but raise your hand if you're a Christian. I love that. According to the Word of God, the Lord, who will never leave you or forsake you, is right in the middle of the situation of your life. Now, the disciples are going to find this out anew here in a moment. Was this written 2,000 years ago for our education? Or was it written for us 2,000 years ago for our learning? There's a big difference. One goes into the head, and one is lived out in our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called "Jesus is More Than Enough." Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I want to let you guys in on something. We literally brought a book back to life. We resurrected a book that was out of print for your junior higher, high schooler, and your college age kid. You've got to get a copy of Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith's book titled "He Who Thinks Has to Believe." So mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, listen to this. Get this book for your kid, junior high school, college age kid, because as they get into this book, and they're going to want to get into it, it's fascinating. They're going to love it. Sit down with them, read it with them, watch what happens. Their world is being rocked, and you need to infuse truth into their life with this great book. Once again, don't miss it. Don't miss it. "He Who Thinks Has to Believe" by Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith.
"He Who Thinks Has to Believe" by Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith. It's a great book, and it's our book of the month for the month of February. You can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Jack
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.